two from the good black man, and we're a winner. And everybody knows the two, we just keep on pushing, like your leaders tell you to. At last that blessed day has come, and I don't care where you come from, we're all moving on up, Lord have mercy, we're moving on up, moving on up, woo.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Political Strategist. This is your podcast host, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm back on the podcast here. During this time of, and this season of, I don't know what else to call it, a persecution, and I think it's actually biblical fulfillment. But that certainly I would say they're the troubled times. There are some people that have operated against me and have gone to such desperate lengths to embarrass me or get me in trouble, to set me up. And nothing's new. When I look back over my life, I can see it over and over and over. And when my situations have changed overnight and suddenly and added up to what they call it, the perfect storm, I never knew what it was. But now these are the same entities that are trying to deconstruct, demolish, eradicate my existence, either by one way or another, directly through physical assault, as I suffered on Sunday night, through a means that you are not aware of, but I'm going to talk about it, or through just circumstances that make me look bad. On Sunday night, and sitting in my vehicle, I was sitting by a light pole, and I experienced an attack on my head. It was a directed energy attack. It was near the crown of my head and the top of my head, and actually, I'm just going to be honest here, because this recording, I'm recording to preserve my story and my testimony about the events that have taken place over and over, because I am praying to survive these things over and over. But just in case something happens to me where I cannot talk, or I'm in a place where I cannot give my story, this podcast will serve as my official platform where I'm telling my story. And while I can tell my story, even though I pray and I am determined to overcome every obstacle that has been placed before me, to overcome these very evil attacks on my life and on the life of my family. But on Sunday night, I experienced an extreme attack on my head, on my brain, and it's directed energy attack from the lighting. These are military tactics. Also, it is combined with to accomplish these attacks, what they have to do is really permeate the air with intense chemical infiltration, a lot of chemical deposits in the air. Planes were flying over me. It was a very intense chemical concentration in the air. And this is when, I'm not familiar with the process itself, but this is when the lighting itself becomes torturous. And then maybe it facilitates a directed energy attack. That's my lay person's evaluation and sense of what takes place. I know there are official and professional accounts of this process that can verify what I'm talking about now. One thing I notice is that my voice is not as clear. Maybe I'm upset, anxious, and my voice is not as clear as it previously was when I'm talking on the podcast. So please excuse me. It may have been that the chemical environment that I've been living in has affected my voice. I'm not sure. My voice box. I'm not sure, but hopefully that's not the case, but I'm certainly going to investigate that. But what I came on the podcast to talk about is the extremism that I have seen in an effort to defeat me. It is really sad because, let me say this, you're dealing with very cowardly people. These are cowardly people. And so let me emphasize this. Because they're so cowardly, they look strong, they look ferocious, they look like they really have something. But when someone of their caliber, someone that is more powerful than me, and I have absolutely nothing to fight them with except my words, they will flee. You know, when the enemy, there's a whole bunch of scriptures in the Word about resisting Satan and he will flee. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And there's a series of scriptures on that. And let me tell you, I have lived to see those scriptures come to pass and just really have a reality in my face right now as I'm sitting here talking. It's like those scriptures are like a person standing in front of me, presenting themselves. And so the Lord has done that and really blessed me to overcome that circumstance in my vehicle on Sunday night. It was a terrifying thing. And I had nowhere to go, really. My car was in disrepair. And I had nowhere to go, but I moved to the other side of my vehicle and put pillows over my head, knowing and recognizing what was going on. And having survived the attack, the Lord had to really bless me, and He did. He did. Now, my car has been towed to a repair facility for repair, and I'm now in a hotel. So thank God for that. He did make a provision for me. He made the provision for me. So this is what I want to say. So this is how extreme these people are, and they must be stopped. They must be prosecuted. I am going to do what I can to see that these things come to pass. We're dealing with this outrageous sexual harassment, outrageous gang stalking, outrageous efforts to defeat me politically. I don't know if it's for political reasons. For the longest, I didn't do anything politically. And even when I stopped and did nothing, these attacks have continued. So just to defeat me as a person. But while I was at one of the shelter facilities, because I have been homeless for the most part when I've been in Michigan, the housing entities have failed to admit me into their facilities. And I do have evidence now, at least a suggestion, that was those are gang stalking efforts, discriminatory efforts to keep me out of housing in Detroit and keep me out of the state of Michigan, really. I have some evidence to that effect. It came up in one of my lawsuits. One of the lawyers who's resisting my admission into a senior housing facility and has resisted and resisted. I mean, the only thing I was asking for when I filed the lawsuit was to be admitted to the facility. And in the state of Michigan, and it's nationally, they have somehow diluted the law that the governs HUD placements and admissions to senior housing. That you admit a senior, like it or not, I'm now a senior citizen. I don't think of myself as a senior citizen at all. And in fact, as I record this podcast, I am about to go to the gym that is here and work out and lift some weights and so forth. But once you're a senior citizen, it was under federal law and state law, but certainly it still exists under in the regulations and federal law, it still exists. And in state law, if you're a senior, you're homeless. If you've been rendered disabled, and there are some other criteria, you must be moved to the front of a waiting list. We have a waiting list. We can't. Oh, yes, you can, because the law says so. Could be moved to the front of the waiting list, having met certain criteria. But anyway, I'm waiting on housing. I'm waiting on housing and all of this injustice, all of this just outrageous injustice and violation of my civil rights, my constitutional rights have taken place. And one of the things that has taken place is this. I finally found a foster home for my dog, because at first that was stopping me from getting into housing as well, which is not supposed to be. That's a definite violation as well of my constitutional and civil rights. And I'm going to be addressing that. You can't have a dog in here. Yes, you can. And the circumstances under which it happens, I am complying with. So I wound up fostering my dog to a family. And the woman was gracious enough to take in my dog. This was a healthy woman. This was a woman of, my same physical stature and able to get around on her own. She worked at one of the housing facility places. And she, agreed to foster my dog, which it was great for me because, when you have a pet, it's like your family member. And I've lost my sister. I've lost my mother. I've lost my father. I've lost my grandparents. And the only person that is, other two people are my brother and my nephew are still here, thank God. But I value my pet as a family member. So I fostered my dog and I felt comfortable having him with this family. God had to reinforce my comfort levels to allow me to feel peace about my dog staying with this foster family. And her name is Debbie Petrie, was a lady. And by her working at the, it's called ChristNet, and the facility, and in her own right, her family's experience with dogs. I think they bred boxers, dogs, and they were having experience with dogs. I felt comfortable allowing my dog to go with them and be fostered, and it definitely gave me some relief because having a dog in a shelter or a car is definitely not, the most comfortable place for a pet. And in light of the fact that I've been attacked by the military, attacked by planes over and over and over, assaulted in my head, assaulted in my legs. They make a major attack on my legs. Inasmuch as I knew that I was attacked, I was hoping my dog wasn't, but may have been attacked. I gave him over to a family that could take care of him because I wanted him out of the range of danger that I knew I was in. And lo and behold, maybe it's been about a couple of months that my dog has been with that family. And lo and behold, I, over the weekend, sometimes I just miss my dog. And I texted to the lady, Miss Petrie, who had the dog in her possession, my dog in her possession. And I said, "How are you?" Her name is Debbie Petrie. "How are you, Debbie? How are you? And how is Samson?" And I miss my dog, and so I do inquire. And I was, a response came back that I never thought would come back. And that is that, "Oh, hi, this is not Debbie. She has suffered with an extreme brain tumor and has in the hospital having surgery." And I was aghast about that response because she was fine the last time I saw that lady. But what I referenced and related to was my own attack Sunday night on my head, on my own attack on my head. I don't know if she was able to feel an attack on her head when it took place, because I know it took place and caused her to have this brain tumor. And I believe that she suddenly went down because of such an attack, which I similarly suffered. And it's not the first time. It's not the first time. And I suffered a bad attack like that on April 9th. April 9th, 2000. May have been 2018 or 19. I got to get my year straight. But I suffered a major attack like that. Well, no, that was the freezing attack, the weather freeze attack. The other attack where my brain was actually freezing was on the weekend, the Memorial Day weekend of those same years, either 2000. It wasn't 2018, it was 2019. In my bedroom at my home. And so I'm aware of these attacks. They're very painful attacks. It makes you feel like you have a major migraine headache. It is like someone is taking a pair of pliers and squeezing your brain. I've suffered at least two of those attacks like that. Sunday night was one of them. And so now I call this family and find out this woman who has graciously agreed to take care of my dog has had brain surgery. I immediately suspected that she too was targeted and attacked with directed energy military weapons. What is the reason for that? Why would someone go to such extremes? Well, my dog, of course, is, you know, has to suffer in a vehicle where there's chemicals, where there's electricity attacks, where there's kinds of things. I didn't want him to suffer that. And so he's also, because of his my inability to getting to housing, I think it's all connected because, okay, don't give her housing and we'll try to kill her in her car. And I have evidence of the same thing with Miss Petrie, who's keeping my dog for me. She was attacked as well. But why would you? Well, my dog, you know, one thing he did, and that's another reason why I had to get him out, you know, out of my care for a while, is he kept me from going into, merchants kept me from doing some of my work that I do, my legal work on my law cases. And I had to go to the library. And since it's been really hot, it's very difficult to keep him in a vehicle. And so for another reason, I had him fostered for that reason. My freedom to work on my cases, my causes is what it seems like the Lord wants me to say, was definitely augmented when I had my dog safely housed somewhere else. And now with the attack on his, I call it his foster mother, has now caused him to be released back to me. And I'm in a safe place for a couple of days and able to do some of my work that I normally do. But after that, I have to reassess and find out again whether I'm going to return to my home in South Carolina or continue to seek housing opportunities here in Michigan. Certainly, my dog being back is an additional responsibility in an additional way I have to deal with. It's an interference with my legal work because I cannot go into establishments and do work, which I can. I just have to do it a different way. But definitely a major attempt to stop me, to I just reported last weekend that my brakes went out on my car. So my dog was not even around. My brakes went out on the car. So I've been, that was another thing that happened, is disabled my progress with my legal cases, but not much because I was able to drive 20 miles. This is going to be funny one day. It's not funny now. 20 miles an hour to get to the library still. And then the Lord provided the additional funds to help me get my car fixed and to get back on my feet. What an extreme effort to sabotage my cause and my claims, my legal claims. What an extraordinary effort to sabotage the woman that was keeping my dog for me. To me, it's perfectly obvious. And again, I am going to take steps to notify law enforcement agencies about this and how extreme these people were and are to do anything they can to stop my cause, to stop my claims, legal claims, from progressing. I'm doing this podcast, Political Strategist, for that reason, to preserve my testimony, to preserve my statements, because like I said, I face danger in and out, and I want my story, my testimony to be preserved on this podcast. And so to you of the listeners that are not aware of these things, I mean, let me tell you, these are very extreme tactics and military and chemical warfare is being exacted on civilians, black female civilians, and all kinds of other civilians. We did not know that this existed in this country, United States of America. And I'm so glad that I have like about 28, I don't know, maybe 30 countries with listeners that have listened to the Political Strategist here on Anchor, because now they know what has been going on here in this country, inside of this country. And this country prides itself, and it's a big lie, in being the most free country in the new world and in the whole world. And, you know, they always act like Russia is a problem. But we have a country with a military that attacks its own citizens, and for social reasons, I mean, maybe political, but at the time I've suffered attacks, I mean, even then, I wasn't even mounting any more political efforts. And so that's when they come in and launch their attacks and do what they do. And let me tell you this, Miss Petrie, I was seeing her every day and seeing my dog every day at the shelter. I would go visit him, walk him, and then hand him back over to her. And the minute I stopped, I would say within the last 10 days, so this is recent, I stopped going to the shelter. Well, I anticipate I had employment and some other things. The minute that happened, and it's been less than 10 days, maybe if 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, less than 10 days, this woman was attacked and having dragged through surgery and dragged to the hospital to dispose of her when I turned my back. When we turn our backs, that's the most dangerous times in our life. When I turned my back, my sister died. When I turned my back, my mother died. And so these are cowardly people. These are people that are extremely cowardly, extremely weak and dangerous at the same time. But there's one thing I've noticed about them. They cannot do anything. In fact, when the attacks take place at night, the chemical attacks, they take place sometimes earlier than 2 o'clock in the morning, but a lot of times at darkness, 2, 3. I mean, talking about the really severe attacks, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And it is the most cowardly attacks that anyone can imagine. We have to do something about it. We have to expose these people. This begins at the top, at the White House, and goes all the way down. And I'm aware of it. I know what's going on. And while they have launched attacks to keep me quiet, to even kill me. Because you know, the Lord told me yesterday, when I finally was able to move to a hotel, to move to a place of safety, He said to me, you were in danger of dying as well if you stayed in that car. And with my car's brakes loosing and going out suddenly, I was stuck there. I managed to move a distance away. But do you know how these people, this is not your normal mechanisms for murder. You know, you think of your normal mechanisms for murder being, think of them being a gun, a knife, you know, or some other weapon. But these are military weapons. And what happens with these military weapons, they're not something that's done up close on you. It's something like in the military. You know, you have a military copter that's flying over you, shooting something down on people when you look at real combat situations. And so they're not near the person, but they're certainly still able to harm the person because they have a different means of attack. They don't have a gun right beside the person, but they have one up on that copter. And then these are directed energy attacks that are They use, you know, electric conductors and directed energy is what they use. And I say light energy, because if my biggest concern when I am out at night is the lighting. Where are the lights? And there's very few places where you can go now where there's no illumination. But I'm just very mindful, and I scrutinize where I go. I don't go into brightly lit places because that is where they launch their attacks and launch the chemicals are with it. And so if you follow the chemicals, basically the directed energy lighting will follow because they need the chemicals. Very rarely have I seen burning skin without this sudden surging of the chemical warfare and then the lighting. I'm going to get to how come that's the case hopefully soon and have an official academic explanation of how they do it. My telling of this story is exponential. Is exponential a word? Well, if it isn't, it's about my experience. It's not academic. This is the real deal. But I say these on this podcast to warn you as well. It may not be awareness. I had known that Miss Petrie was being attacked with a lighting. I'm certainly concerned for my dog to see if he was subject to it as well. Then, you know, hey, we have police to notify. We have authorities to notify, because that's a murder. That's not a murder. She's not dead. That's an attempted murder. And if anything has happened to my dog, that's an attempted murder of my dog. That was an attempted murder of me. So they say, oh, no one knows. You know, we get away with it. Nobody knows. No one knows. They do know, and they will know now. So if you are out there as listeners here on The Political Strategist, let me tell you this. If you suspect that your lighting, first of all, you're going to know through chemical infiltration, and you're going to see chemicals probably. But even if you don't, if you suspect that your lighting is harmful, then immediately cut it off. And you may have to sit in the dark. Let me tell you some other things. How God has spiritually endowed me to be prepared for these very events. I think back in 2012, maybe 2013, I had a dream, a very vivid dream. The dream was I'm sitting in my house that I had at the time, in my den. It was pitch black in that den. I mean, black as black. And all that was illuminated was my cell phone. And that's the case with a lot of people I see today. They're walking with their phones. They don't see anything else but their phone. I think it's dangerous, you know. I don't do it. I don't walk with my phone and look at my phone at the same time. I think it's a dangerous exercise. I think it's detracts attention from one's surroundings, and I don't think it's anything that one should do. I don't, but I see so many people doing just that. But in the dream, the only thing I had was my cell phone sitting there, but it was pitch black. And then I had a dream prior to that my whole family was gathered in our family library in my house in South Carolina. We're all in pitch black. And since that time, two of my members of my family have died. That we all gathered together in my family library in South Carolina in my house, and it was pitch black in that library. And let me see, have I had any more? But right now I have a vision of my dog being inside darkness. On the right, he's situated on the right. I see some kind of, I don't know what it is, a metal pedestal or something on his left leg. His left leg, and he turns around. It could be his right leg, but I think it's depending on what direction you're in. You know, so these are all prophetic visions, prophetic foretellings of things I'm going through right now. Right now, I'm going through right now. But the enemy certainly has reared his head again and trying to really commit all of these crimes in a legal way, trying to work ways to intimidate me not to engage in my legal causes. I am a practicing lawyer. I am a licensed lawyer. I have my bar license. Even though it's in an active status, but it's not in an active status as it pertains to me. And so I'm working and active to pursue my cause legally. And these claims, many of these claims are winning cases. And I believe they have orchestrated as many circumstances as they can to try to stop me once again. Once again. And so I'm here on The Political Strategist to give you my account, to preserve my account, what I believe has transpired what I believe has transpired with my sister, who I believe was murdered and killed, what I believe transpired with my mother dying on my wedding anniversary. These are sexual harassers, perverted sexual harassers that have, and then the government gang stalking term and label, you know, now it's pretty self-explanatory. Gang stalking, that means it takes more than one person to accomplish and carry out these feats. More than one person to carry it out. And that's why it's the gang stalking. I've been stalked on the street, you know, every day. Every day. And what I've done, I'm sure you've seen my photos on Facebook. If you haven't, please feel free to go to my Facebook page. My link is facebook.com/BrendaK.Sanders.3. And certainly on my, I posted a lot of my videos of being stalked, videos of vehicles trying to hit my car, attempting to hit my car. And so, you know, hey, if you looked at my car has been hit 3 times in the last year, year and a half. And so these efforts continue. Thank God I'm still here. Thank you, Jesus, I am still alive. But please take the time and also go to my Instagram page, instagram.com/ at this moment is Brenda K. Sanders, numerical for Congress. Brenda K. Sanders, numerical for Congress. Brenda K. Sanders for Congress. And you'll see my videos of the plane attacks, the chemical attacks. I've been posting these things for years. I am attempting to reinstate my causes legally, both in the federal courts and in the, it would be in South Carolina as well as in Michigan, and also in the state courts. So stay tuned, please. You know, these courts have public records and you can see my cases on these sites. And I want people to know, that I'm being harmed, attempts have been harmed me. And I am going to notify the authorities about these attacks and what has taken place. And to me, the obviousness of it all, the outrageousness of it all, and the fact that we're all in danger and suffering greatly, even with the chemical warfare, it's not just me. It is everybody else too. And so even law enforcement are endangered by the chemical warfare. And anybody can be endangered by these lighting weapons. Every lighting device that you look is a potential weapon. And that's how they do now. They're not gonna walk up to you, even though it has been done now. They're not gonna walk up to you and just hit you in the head no more. They're gonna use the military sophistication of directed energy weaponry. And so thank you for listening here on The Political Strategist. Thank you for tuning in the first place. Many of you have been interested in the government gang stalking episodes of this podcast, and I'm thankful that you have not found them to be incredible. I also had the blessing of speaking at an electronic harassment rally. I was invited after I did a video about my state Senate bid, and that video caught the attention of some other women in a group, and they're also men, that were also gang stalked and electronically harassed. And so I'm grateful for that, because certainly that platform brought attention to the electronic harassment program. I mean, the women in this group that are from all over the country, LA, Utah, New York, Chicago, Florida, North Carolina, New Jersey. They have all been victimized by the same thing. And these are just the women that speaking out. These are not all of the women. Because I believe once this, and that's why the media is so recalcitrant I don't know. Did I say that right? Stubborn about reporting these claims, because, I mean, first of all, they involve mostly black women, and mostly right now until we get a full reporting scale, and maybe it will involve the, you know, Caucasian women, Mexican women, and so forth, women in third world countries. But it is a phenomenon that I believe is very organized, and that's how I knew I wasn't the only one. Even though I thought I was the only one, I said, well, it's too organized. It's too developed, so I know that it's been used against other people. Other people. And so I'm praying for any family that's been... I'm sorry about my notification. I'm praying about any family that's been affected by these attacks. But I'm certainly, again, I have to go forward with reporting these attacks, unconventional as they may be, to murder and to maim, which, you know, they've been practicing on me for years, but to intentionally do it, to undo my ability to work freely on my legal claims is preposterous. It's outrageous. It's barbaric. And so thank you again, listeners. I will be back on the podcast soon. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Still, you can still stand tall.
Thank you.